Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am your host, Eddie Villanueva, and alongside me, as always, are my co-hosts, Chad Riley.
Hi.
And Spencer Williams.
Hey.
We're going to talk about a movie today.
There's so many pauses in this intro.
Digs a little deeper or grasps at straws. You be the judge.
With duct tape. We are going to be talking about the previously...
For real, though. That is so true.
Previously released film Skyscraper, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So listen in as we give our honest opinions today, right?
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I'm looking at Spencer.
It's going to be an interesting tale of real world meets the movie world.
Well, before we do, here's a little bit of information from Chad. Sorry.
Sure thing. What's even taller than the Burj Khalifa? Our excitement for bringing you useful, informative movie reviews. So we're sorry that this episode is about to happen. So it's a good thing that we're still coming to you courtesy of Mingle Media TV and VGB Studios. Whether you find yourself in a sedan in California or a high-rise in Hong Kong, you can access new episodes of the podcast each Wednesday morning on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Libsyn, Player FM, and Audio Boom, and a few others that we don't mention.
Not that they're not important.
Of course not.
Set a conversational fire with us on social media. Like our page on Facebook at facebook.com/filmlosophers. And follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/filmlosophy101 so you never miss a beat. How many near-death scenarios do you have to escape to access our episode archive and
this
all
is
the
one
secrets
of them
that lie within? You just need an internet connection. Well, the answer to that question is zero. We're not putting you...
No near-death experience is necessary.
That's correct. Visit our website at filmmonsters.com.
That's right. We got a website. You can check out all our previous episodes. We got a lot of great ones, too. We really enjoyed last week's episode. If you didn't get a chance to, we were talking about the recent documentary about Mr. Rogers called Won't You Be My Neighbor? So if you get a chance, check out Lesson 121, which we talk about that. But of course, after this episode, because in this episode, we got some stuff to talk about.
You have some problems, because like, you're just like pushing people to say, go to last week's episode.
No, I said after they listen to this episode.
No,
because
here's the thing. You need to listen to this episode so you don't make the mistake of going to the movie.
Exactly. We're doing you a public service here.
Spoiler alert, don't go to the movie.
Also, we're having spoilers during this movie because there's no reason not to.
That's very true.
Very, very accurate.
As we mentioned, we are talking about Skyscraper, the film that just debuted this past weekend, starring The Rock Johnson, obviously, because that's... I keep saying that because that's probably the only thing you probably know of the film. You just know The Rock's in it, but... You don't really know, like, the rest of
us. You probably saw the trailer and you're like, they made a sequel to Rampage already?
Or they made another reboot of Die Hard? So it's...
True.
Well, this would be a scathing review if this was a remake of Die Hard.
You know what? We'll get into our opinions about it after this. But before we do, Chad, why don't you give him a little bit of that official synopsis goodness?
Oh, I sure will. This will be the last thing that makes sense to you all. Will Sawyer is a former FBI hostage rescue team leader and U.S. war veteran who now assesses security for skyscrapers. On assignment in Hong Kong, he finds the tallest, safest building in the world, the Pearl, suddenly ablaze, and he's been framed for it. A wanted man on the run, Will must find those responsible, clear his name, and somehow rescue his family, who is trapped inside the building above the fire line.
Wow, that was good. That actually worked really well.
I don't know if I agree with that synopsis.
You know, here's the thing. They don't care because they're making hands over foot money, like, easy. So it's, yeah. Huh. Written and directed by Ross and Marshall Thurb. His last name is Thurb.
Thurb? Or Thurby?
Thurby? Thurb?
Like Furby?
Like a Furby with a lisp?
A Thurby? Perhaps. A Thurby.
We're trying to make the... Don't... You know what, Spence? Don't look at me like that. We're trying to make the...
Okay.
Written and directed by Ross and Marshall Thurb. The film stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Nev Campbell, Chin Han, Noah Taylor, Roland Maller, Byron Mann, Pablo Schreiber, Hannah Kinavan, and others. I'm probably Quinlevan.
Yeah, you butchered like half those names. It's cool.
It's all right. This will be the first Ross and Marshall Thurber. Oh, looks like I might have been missing an R.
You typoed the note?
I think I typoed the note.
Oh, well, it made for a good like detour for all of 12 seconds.
So this might be the director's... This is the first non-comedy film for the director. If you're not familiar with the director, he's also directed such films as in Central Intelligence, starring Kevin Hart, and also The Rock, and We're the Millers, films like that. And obviously, as I just
previously... Which really explains a lot. Like, when you think about it, that explains a lot about this film. Because he wrote and directed this film.
Yeah, he did. And it's
It has more of that illogical premise and payoff that you would see in a comedy film, but it's not played for comedy.
You know, I may have to agree to that, and I... Yeah, actually, I do. Because it now that you're making it seem logical, it does actually make sense in that aspect. But we'll dive into that a little bit more because, as I just previously mentioned, this is also the second collaboration between Johnson and the director, Thurber.
Like a Gerber baby.
So here's the thing.
His last name is Thurber. Okay, moving on. Sorry.
Here's the thing about this film. So obviously, one of the most charismatic actors in Hollywood right now and probably within the last two decades...
Absolutely.
Can easily be summed up by this man itself, The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
All you need is the eyebrow.
That's all you really need. Mm-hmm. And he's been just emerging ever since his stint in The Mummy, has just become more and more of a prolific actor in film nowadays. He's done everything from, obviously, action films to comedies to
family films.
And so... We know that this man is capable of doing incredible stuff on film, and not even just on film.
He's a super watchable performer.
He really is, and he's incredibly likable.
And he's, like, massive. He's like a mountain of a human being.
Yeah. He really is. So,
when you talk about a performer who, like, draws people's attention to them because they fill up a room, like, he literally fills up a room.
Mm-hmm.
He fills up the scene because... I don't know how much the man bench presses, but I know it's more than I weigh.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, the dude's a beast.
But the thing is, with him, he's been doing performances like this for a while now. In terms of showing off his strength, being just a presence from wrestling, he got his start in terms of the show business in wrestling. And he's always been just a charismatic individual. So you see him in films, and you pretty much just like him right away. I don't think there's ever been a film, speaking before Skyscraper, I don't think there's ever been a film where I was not really thrilled, like, not thrilled with his performances. I've always liked most of his performances. They've done a good job.
Yeah, well, and they never have put him in the role of the person that you dislike. Not that they did here either. I mean, he is the protagonist of this particular story, but... For a lot of reasons, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons. So obviously, we're talking about,
and we're saying that post Rampage, by the way.
Oh, completely post Rampage,
which was also a mess.
The thing with this particular film, the thing that set this film apart from most other films, is that the protagonist, obviously, like we said, played by The Rock, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Actually has a disability in this film, which is one of the key draws for a lot of individuals because of the fact that you're having a super... Or, I almost said superhero.
A spade a spade.
Yeah. No, he's a superhero.
Like, the laws of physics don't apply to this character, so yes, he has to be a super...
If it turned out at the end
individual.
Of this movie that he could just fly, I'd be like, this movie makes a lot more sense now.
I know.
The fact that they made this particular protagonist to have a disability, which he does have a prosthetic leg in the film, that was one of the biggest draws for a lot of individuals because of the fact that it creates a, I guess if you want to say a not complete hero, like, I'm not sure how the best way to phrase that.
I absolutely love that element of the story. I just wish
100%.
It was in a different movie and not this one.
I agree 100%. And, you know, let's just jump right in because really there's no really way to dance around it except for the fact that you just dive right in And as we mentioned, we are going to do spoilers. So here's your spoiler alert. We don't have the soundboard with us, or else Spencer
we weren't even motivated to bring our soundboard.
Like, this is like the B game right now, because this movie is just not up to our A.
Spencer,
but you all deserve to know why.
Spencer, what would be a good sound for a spoiler alert?
It'd be like B grade would be like alert, alert, spoiler.
B
alert.
Grade, I love it.
You're not getting our A game movie.
So
alert, alert, like the voice in the tower in the Pearl.
Yeah,
shelter in place. Fire countermeasures taking effect, or whatever it was.
You're bringing up a whole lot of stuff I want to talk about.
Hey.
It's like Ben Stein version of alert.
It was the worst alert. It doesn't tell you with urgency to get out of the building or leave the level.
No, and you basically couldn't even hear it.
Also, it didn't tell you like pertinent information. Like, oh, there's an alert. What's happening? Do I need to do something? Should I go to a fire exit? Should I stay where I am? What am I doing, building?
What am I doing, building?
So before we dive any more into the film, let's go ahead and talk about expectations. And let's.
Oh, those were low. Those were already low.
I think it's safe to say one of the blanket expectations here within us, the Filmlosophers, was we didn't expect this to be the next great summer blockbuster. I think that could be easily, we could all agree on that. This film looked like a B-movie. It felt like a B-movie. The trailer was B-movie grade trailer stuff. It just didn't have what I would say as Spencer so eloquently put, didn't have the stuff to be an A-movie grade type of film.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of anything more than that, in terms of expectations, I would say one of the things that I was hoping for was, in all honesty, like I said, I knew the film was going to be B-movie, but I was hoping that The Rock was going to do his best to kind of bring it out of that B-movie, to almost make it like sub-level A, like not exactly like a 90 on a test, but like an 89.5.
So a B plus is basically what
you're saying. Like a strong B plus. Okay. I was hoping with his input and what we were getting out of that, I really thought he was going to pull a lot of this film.
Yeah, that's an acceptable expectation right there.
What about you, Spence? Anything else that you had in terms of expectations?
Well, I agree with your general expectations. The only other thing I was kind of hoping for was that they would have done more with, I was thinking going into this movie that, like, oh, he's got, like, a fake leg. They could do so much with that, where, like, he's trying to do action movie stuff, but, like, you know, he has to actually watch out for his leg and, like, you know, somehow try to keep his leg from falling apart as he's dealing with a literal fire in the building.
Oh, so
which would probably melt plastic or something like that.
You're saying like the authenticity of the actual leg itself.
Yeah. Like it wouldn't just be like this throwaway idea that they did nothing with.
What about you, Chad?
You know, this movie, I was not looking forward to it. I like The Rock. We've established this on previous episodes. I think that The Rock is a very watchable performer, even when everything around him stinks. However, we did not have the pleasure or benefit of seeing a press screening for this film, which we typically do. We get to see films roughly a week before they come out, maybe two if we're lucky. This one, we didn't get that, so I cheated and I read some reviews from those who did. And I mean, that just really made me happy that I have MoviePass. So I feel like I'm not paying for the ticket. My expectations were low. I already knew from some of the spoilery kind of reviews I had read specific elements that I was going to not like, that I was going to disagree with, a.k.a. the entire plot of the villains of the story. Like, talk about a dumb idea. It's really, really stupid. The one thing that I did not know to expect going in was that this movie was apparently bankrolled by duct tape. Because this is a giant, like, essentially half of the movie, the second half of the movie, is like a really long, very expensive commercial for duct tape.
Pretty much. This movie relies heavily on the belief that duct tape can fix everything. And they really push that to the limits in this
book. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to do it in a gimmicky kind of way, like a wink, wink, like,
yeah,
you know, oh, yeah, my dad or my grandpa or my uncle thinks that duct tape is the thing that solves everything. You know, it's like whatever that movie is with the Windex, Big Fat Greek Wedding, right?
Yeah. And
Windex fixes everything. Okay, do it as a sight gag. Don't like, incorporate it into, like, the climactic challenge of the film.
Yeah.
This movie relies on duct tape for its climax.
It's held together by duct tape, and that should tell you everything you need to know.
And I think that's true in terms of this film, because there's so much that this film chooses to place upon the audience in terms of understanding of the levels of disbelief in film. And we'll get a little bit more into that, but I think in terms of the idea of a action film that is going to place a heavy emphasis on something that is real world, such as a disabled individual. Mm-hmm. If you're going to put that much emphasis on something real world, you also have to add other parts of the world that affect it, because then it's not really an example, if you will, of the world against somebody who is disabled, or the elements against somebody who is, you know, lacking in certain aspects. What it tells me is that if you got enough money and if you have enough resources, then you and your disability or your missing part, you could do pretty much anything. You could scale a building that's taller than the Burj Khalifa. Like, you can do these things. And in the aspect of what this film was, in my mind, was trying to do in terms of inspiring individuals, it really falls short of that for me.
Well, and it's, again, that's an incredibly relevant story point that they do nothing to service. It is a sight gimmick, is the way that they use the prosthesis. Like the prosthetic, the orthotic, you know, prosthetic leg is used as a prop in a couple of sequences. It is not real. Like, the fact that he is, that he has one prosthetic leg and one natural leg, from prior to the opening sequence where you see what happens that, you know, causes that to be the situation for him.
Yeah.
Which was extremely serious.
Yeah.
And very, like, dark compared to the rest of the film, which tries to also be dark, but it would have worked better as a comedy. It really would have. You would have had to change a lot of things tonally for it to do that, and it would be more like, you know, like a Naked Gun or, you know, something
that
like,
would have been fun.
Like a spoof of
something
Die
like
Hard.
Central Intelligence.
Whatever. Yeah. It would have worked so much better as a comedy. The fact that they played it for serious, as a serious film, action movie, just really, it broke it. And the fact that they had a really unique and intelligent story component, such as the fact that he's got a prosthetic leg, and they only used it a couple of times as a gimmick.
Yeah.
It really falls short.
So obviously, jumping into the film, we're introduced to the characters that play a key role, that plays the key role through the whole film, which is pretty much The Rock and his family.
Yes, the character has a name, but he's The Rock, as he is in everything.
He's never really anything else. Like, you look at him and you're like, oh, it's The Rock. No. He's so-and-so from this movie, or he's this from Jumanji, or he's that from whatever. Like, no. He's
The Rock.
The Rock. You know, there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it.
There's one reason why you make a movie with The Rock, and it's because he's The Rock.
Exactly.
That's it.
It's not because of his acting prowess. It's not because of his Shakespearean work. It's not because of his years of thespian, you know, whatever. The man is The Rock. I mean, you're going to put The Rock in the film.
Absolutely.
This was not about anybody else climbing this building. It was about The Rock.
That's right.
The building. Yeah. But we're introduced to, obviously, The Rock, the woman who he would soon marry and have children with. You're introduced to the characters such as the building owner, the person who created this tall building that dwarfs every other tall structure in the entire world.
Like, it literally, like, the top several floors are way above the cloud deck.
Yeah.
I mean, it is tall.
It is a...
it's beautiful, too.
It's a person who has a fear of heights. It's their worst nightmare, completely.
Oh, for sure.
And you're introduced to a lot of these elements. None of them really matter, though, because of the fact that, like we said, it's The Rock. So The Rock is really the main focus here. But I do kind of want to start with that opening scene, because this film, the opening sequence, drew a very strong similarity to another film's opening sequence that we had just previously watched, and that is Sicario.
Sure.
If you've seen Sicario, and I mean Sicario 2, Day of the Soldado, and actually the first one as well, if you're familiar with those two films, if you're not, the opening scenes really do this strong, like, gut check, like, really, like, punches you in the stomach right from the get-go. This film is literally the same thing. Like, this opening sequence seriously threw me for a loop. I saw it. We saw what happened, and I turned to Spencer. I'm like, dude, that got dark really quick. Mm-hmm. Like, what I was expecting and what happened really kind of jolted me for a second.
Yeah, they slap you with a fish right out of the gate. Yeah, it's upsetting.
Have you been slapped with a fish before, Spencer?
No, but I feel like I'd be very upset.
If somebody slapped you with a fish.
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
I would be too. I'm not a seafood person.
No, not into it.
But I want to kind of touch on that because of the fact that you're right. Like, you have somebody whose main forte has been comedy. Somebody who has made it his living to create, you know, silly scenarios or opportunities to make people laugh. You have somebody whose main bread and butter have been jokes and inappropriate humor.
Right.
And then you put them in this writer's chair, and they create this. It just, for me, this didn't sit well. Like, the way it went about, you know, making the whole, like, oh, well, this is how he loses his leg and is introduced to his wife. That was kind of a bit much. Like, for me, I felt like they were really shoving it in my face that, like, oh, we're going to give him PTSD and we're going to make him really disabled. Here, take it, and shoved it into my face. Like, there could have been other ways in my mind that could have started that film out.
Plus, there was other ways you could have done it and actually had meant something, like, because this really didn't come up again.
No, not at all.
Except for, like, an allusion to something later on, which was, I don't know why they did
We've already lost most of the audience by that point anyway, so.
Oh, 100%. But, yeah, I think that opening sequence was kind of a bit too far in terms of, like, there were people who had their kids with them there, like, to see this film.
Sure, The Rock.
It's The Rock.
Why not?
And
it's The Rock in a burning building.
Exactly. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, look, it's the Towering Inferno. Look, I remember when I saw this when I was a kid. Right. I'm going to take my son. I'm going to take my daughter. And then boom. And then you're like, oh, I got to talk to my child after this movie now.
Yeah. Well, and tonally, it doesn't match. Anything that comes after it is, it is so serious and so dark in that first opening sequence. And then the rest of it doesn't match at all.
Like, literally, a minute after that sequence, it totally shifts.
Yeah, it's 10 years later. He has already married Neve Campbell, who was the trauma surgeon, you know, person who helped him after that incident. You haven't seen any of, like, what built their relationship or anything there. They have 10-year-old twins or 8-year-old twins or 9-year-old twins, whatever. They
11-year-old twins, who knows?
Twins that are older than the amount of years that have passed.
It's The Rock. He could have impregnated her the moment he saw her. Who knows?
And the legend grows. But, you know, so you fast forward.
Yeah.
And you're being introduced now to the Pearl, which is the giant building and all of its fanciness. It's got, like, a 100th story Central Park, basically. Like, it's a park area with waterfall and trees and beauty and whatever. And it's all, like, 100 stories up off the ground. And then you're looking at all the capabilities of the building and what it can do. And it's all this, you know, brightness and sunlight and beauty. And then you kind of, you go back into, like, the madness of bad guys trying to take over a space, whatever that is.
Yeah.
But it's so disjointed. And the plan that the bad guys are executing on is so ridiculously terrible that you're just watching the whole thing thinking, okay, all right, go ahead and do that too. Oh cool. Go ahead. Yeah, let's get him even more down and that even more on fire and this even more, you know, it's just constantly the solution that it has, which works for comedy. When you have a comedic situation and you say, let's just do extra, 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 that often can work. Mm-hmm. When you have an action movie that has a base logic that doesn't make a whole lot of sense and you do extra, 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 extra,
mm-hmm.
it's just extra.
Yeah, completely. And I think that's one of the things that really this film really does too much. And if anything, if this film succeeds at anything, it is doing things in excess in terms of like really broadcasting what it's going to be doing literally minutes before it does it.
Which is just amazing as a like a fact of the movie is that you can tell how the movie is going to end and what it's going to do like minutes and sometimes tens of minutes before it even happens.
Not even.
And it's bizarre.
You and I'm not gonna obviously we're talking about spoilers, but I'm not gonna spoil this part because it is actually a part of the solution. But you're literally 15 minutes into the film and you already know how they're going to save everything in the end of this film.
Well, we're not talking about that because I did.
Oh.
I think that's a major talking point.
Oh, okay.
Because well, that's all sorts of nonsense. How they fix this?
Well, we'll jump into that in a second.
Now, after this movie, I do want to say, after this movie was over, Eddie, you had like a description of what this movie is. Such and such mixed with such and such mixed with so and so.
This was a parody of Die Hard mixed with an action version of the IT Crowd mixed with the ending, a portion of Toy Story 3, and ending with Enter the Dragon.
Yeah.
All spinned around, now that we talked about it actually off air, all spinned around in the conspiracy of what dreams may come.
Wow. That's going deeper than this movie warrants. The movie did not earn
I know,
level of thought from you two or anyone.
It was Spencer, and I'm like, that makes so much more sense. We can do that, and it makes sense.
You know it's a rough go when people who's, let's call it a job. We don't get paid for this, but let's call it a job. Our job is to talk about movies, and in order to try to make this movie at all relevant for talking about, we try to make up a completely different story than what we just watched so that maybe that's worth talking about.
I feel like the director slash writer slash person at fault for this film literally had a bunch of films that had really unique plot points. And it was like he had the movie on a big piece of paper and all the main plot points of it. And they were just littered all over the floor. And he just had darts and was throwing them wildly. And he's like, okay, and we're going to do, okay, we're going to take the, somebody's going to try to take over a building, and let's, oh, they're going to steal something from this, and oh, and there's going to be fire, and there's
going to
be.
Yeah, they're going to try to steal a USB drive by setting an entire building on fire with them inside. What?
And with the tech
what
people.
What is that?
It's weird because like with the tech geniuses they have on their team, why didn't they just do this digitally? Why didn't they just hack into
well,
his system?
Because
Spencer, don't try to answer this. This is not one of those
a
questions.
Legitimate.
No, this there is Spencer's no area of expertise.
Okay, one of the things that I don't know if we've probably mentioned it before, but one of the things that Spencer actually does for a living outside
the actual
of the
job that he gets paid for.
His actual job is he is the IT person for a large organization out here in Northern California. So when we mentioned that we have a tech expert on hand, we're talking about Spencer. So
yeah, the B-movie lover over here fixes computers for a living.
That's true. And so one of the great things about going and seeing this film, because we actually saw it separately. Chad went to go see it with him and his girlfriend, and myself and Spencer went to go see it somewhere else. One of the great things about seeing this movie with Spencer is looking at the amount of disgust this man had on his face several times throughout the film.
Oh, if only I could have been there.
Because that's not how things work. Like, the movie starts off amazing with The Rock being like, did you try turning it on and off again? You know how many times during the day I tell people to do that?
Oh, that was the only thing that Spencer actually gave kudos to this film about, by the way.
Was that advice?
Was that advice. The subtle hint back
it's
to
legitimate.
IT Crowd, apparently.
IT Crowd popularized it, but it's the most useful piece of information. If you have something broken, you turn it off and you turn it back on again. Now, I wouldn't expect someone to try to fix a multi-million-dollar building with that piece of advice, but apparently
I think it might have been in the billions, multi-billion dollar building.
Yeah, they mentioned at some point it's like 6.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
A part of it is 6.5 billion. Anyway, it's a make-believe building.
It's
we
a make-believe,
argue
yeah.
About it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very beautiful make-believe building.
True. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's self-powered by a large
wind
turbine.
At the same time, the movie is a pretty good advertisement for never make a building like this.
Yeah, 100%. Or if there is somebody who is building it, they have nefarious things in their closet. Because that was the whole reason behind this one.
No, the guy who built it didn't have a problem. It was that he was being extorted.
Yeah, that was his nefarious thing in the
closet. Which he didn't know until the very end.
Yeah. Like, you have no idea whether or not to root for this guy or to hate this guy because of what's happening. So it's like, and then you find out like 15 minutes before the end of the film, like, oh, okay, he was being extorted, but he still paid the man.
Now, you know, I will say something. This is completely aside from the extortion and the building being on fire. But
is there really anything else?
The Rock.
Okay. Oh, yeah, he is.
One of the things that I thought really was the one thing that they got right in this movie. So The Rock is there as a private contractor. He's supposed to be the independent, unbiased third party who has checked all the systems in this big, beautiful, expensive building and says, yeah, you can go ahead and underwrite the insurance for this building because it is the safest super tall structure in the world, right?
Yeah.
So he's been doing research and, you know, whatever. I don't know when he did this research because it looks like it's his first day in the building when he's giving his presentation, but whatever.
Because apparently he can have access all the way in the States, but apparently they have trouble just access. Never mind. I'm not even.
But then the last step is for them to give him a tablet, mm-hmm. a mobile device that recognizes his face, and he's supposed to go to the offsite facility and certify the offsite facility that handles any kind of emergency situations or whatever. Like, you can't compromise this super tall structure on site because people in a different location have override control.
Yeah.
And things happen. The tablet gets stolen by a syndicate or three. I don't know. And then the media starts to think that The Rock Will is the one responsible for the building being on fire and other bad things happening. And so they're kind of following him with like news cameras and choppers and whatever. How he stays ahead of everybody, I don't know.
I have no idea.
I mean, he scales like a 100-foot tall crane.
That's okay.
Yeah,
completely unaccosted and not really stopped. He beats a team that's coming in via elevator. There are other things, but the one thing that I think the movie got right, and this is just like pure spectator bliss, is when the like average everyday people of Hong Kong start rooting for him. Like, they get that he's not actually the bad guy and they're like, oh good, he made that 82-foot jump. Good. Like, they're all rooting for him at several stages in this ridiculous series of shenanigans. And I thought that was really funny. Again, it's better for a comedy, but it was funny to me. Like, wait a minute. He's like the suspect. Like, when I see the news and the news says this person is a suspect fleeing on foot, doing this, that, and the other, I don't care what that person does. If that person does a triple flip to get over somebody's backyard fence, I'm not rooting for him all of a sudden. Like,
it's... Okay.
Why are you running? If you're innocent, shouldn't you stop and say, no, I didn't do this? Obviously, he's trying to save his family and whatever, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the crowds repeatedly root for him. And I thought that was actually really... I'm like, well, why not? I mean, why wouldn't you do that?
Why not? Well, that's
okay.
Not...
I have an addendum. Okay, I have an addendum to my statement earlier. They also pulled from the Running Man.
Oh, gosh.
Because the people started cheering for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
True, that's true.
And he was a criminal, which apparently he's a... So The Rock's assaulted police officers. Stole a police motorcycle.
Somehow
fled
dodged
the scene of a
every
crime.
Bullet from three different crime syndicates.
Yeah.
Shooting at each other.
That was...
And the police.
So go ahead, Spencer, because I'm going to jump into this area of disbelief in this film. Just... Go ahead.
Okay, so this is part of like what I know from China, which isn't terribly much. But like,
he's also an expert in China too. Did you know that?
Well,
Jen?
No, it's
I
actually
like Spencer more and more every day. Every day.
It's actually because I was watching this reporter do a very interesting piece on China's closed-circuit television that they use on their populace. One of the reasons why there wouldn't have been crowds there is because China has facial tracking technology in their cameras, and that would be a mark against you in their social credit system. And if you lower your credit system down too much, you can't get, you could be like kicked out of places or not approved for auto loans because they have things against public, like, you know.
Now you got to remember, Spence, this is 10 years later. Well, there is no definitive time frame in terms of what the year is here.
Well, it is Hong Kong. Well, it has Kong, to be high. Like, Hong Kong is back in Chinese control.
Okay, yeah, but it has to still be recent enough for them to like construct something that's that large.
I don't know.
They had a tablet.
Spencer, he jumped from a crane.
After climbing the crane from the outside.
Also, they wouldn't
not
have
on a ladder, by the way.
They wouldn't have had him, like, a manhunt thing for him either, because, like, the tech would have just tracked him through the city and been like, he's here, he's here, he's here. Like,
yeah.
It would not have been nearly as hard as this movie is trying to make it be like,
no.
Oh, he's a rock, you can't catch him. Like, no, they can catch him.
He's the only 6 foot something person in the entire Asian country. He towers over everybody else. But so when it comes to certain films like these, obviously with action films, there is a level of disbelief that you have to take into consideration because of the fact that it's an action film. So, you know,
sure.
They're going to stretch the bit of truth, if you will, or the ability of what's normal to make it fit for the means of the film. That's obvious, whether if you're watching Die Hard, like we mentioned, or if you're watching whatever action film that's come about recently that just looks ridiculous, you know there is a certain level of disbelief you have to walk into the theater with and just recognize.
Yeah.
But like I said, here's the big contradiction for this film, is that you're creating this extreme level of disbelief for this film expected on the audience, but at the same time, you're also wanting to, kind of like what I mentioned earlier, you're wanting to inspire individuals because you want them to see, oh, well, this is a disabled individual and I am watching them overcome. I'm watching the, you know, it's like when you watch movies like Eddie the Eagle is a good example.
Sure.
You watch a movie like Eddie the Eagle, and this is actually based on a true story, but he's not as fast or intelligent as the other kids, the other, you know, individuals in his group, but he still strives to make, you know, his mark in Olympic history. And that, obviously, there are certain liberties that are taken with it in certain parts, but you're inspired and you're like, okay, that's cool. This is trying to do the same thing, and it's also trying to be a blockbuster action film at the same time. And it's like, I can only disbelieve so much because I either need to see this as an inspirational film that he's trying to do, like action obviously at the core, but an inspirational type, or it's just a straight ridiculous B movie action film. It was a struggle with me when I was watching that film.
Yeah, because it is a B movie action film. That's
to the
like
core.
That is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It does not rise to the level of Die Hard,
no,
or other greats of, you know, the semi-recent-ish past. It just doesn't even come close.
No.
And they solve things with duct tape.
Yeah.
I like duct tape, but that didn't make any sense.
Let's kind of give a little clue as to what we're talking about. So one of the things, once The Rock climbs this 100-story crane and rolls out, apparently they leave the keys in the crane so he's able to move it.
To be fair, that does seem like the type of thing a person would do. It's like, it's locked up by an elevator. No one's getting up here. No one's going to climb up the side of this towering thing and get up here. That's not happening.
The Rock uses it. He breaks into the windows. He jumps in there. Once he's inside, he begins wrapping up his wounds with cloth and duct tape. Then he begins to reinforce his hands and his body or whatever in certain areas with duct tape, stating the age-old saying that everybody has said, even our parents have probably said at one point in time.
Sure.
If you can't fix it with duct tape, you're not using enough duct tape.
Okay, that's not like, you know, a law of physics, by the way. That's how this movie treats that saying.
And here's the worst part about it all. He's supposed to be the safety guy.
Yes.
Duct tape does not fix everything.
It does not. It's not a Band-Aid.
There are protocols and procedures for people like this. Like, if he's a safety guy, he should know, like, no, that's not okay. No, like, he should know the actual ways to fix things like this. But no, he's like, oh, we'll just fix it with duct tape. Like, it makes me second guess his approval on the building.
Absolutely.
It was just... So the duct tape thing becomes almost like
the building that he is entering for the first time. Apparently.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he and his family are staying there, but
yeah,
still, like, there are areas of the building that he is seeing for the first time, but has already evaluated somehow. It was very,
yeah,
like
it's almost,
and that's the kind of stuff that's like, that's just basic logic. Just don't put it in there. Like,
or,
just don't have us asking those kinds of questions.
Or.
Uh-oh.
What really is happening?
I can see the light in Spencer's eyes, and it makes me very happy.
Is that like, okay, so this movie starts off, there's a bomb.
You're going to take it. You're going to take my conspiracy. How dare you?
I mentioned it before.
Go ahead.
Okay, it starts off with a bomb.
Oh, this is what dreams may come. Right.
This is the what my dreams may come part.
So he goes to the hospital, he sees Nev Campbell, and he passes out. And the rest of the movie is just a dream sequence as he's dying.
This is like the conspiracy theory about Greece all over. Just,
well, they flew off in a car in Greece. Like, what are you supposed to expect from that movie?
But so that's the what dreams may come aspect. Mind you, we're not really even. Yeah, this movie's already all over. This is a great imitation of what this film was like. And what in God's name are you guys doing?
I'm chasing a spider with a cup of water.
But the problem is it's an indent in the cup, so it's not flat. You can't kill
it. It's just trapped underneath the cup, but it's totally fine.
This is what we do on the show, guys.
Please continue. What dreams may come.
No, we're done with that. I'm not.
That's this movie. It doesn't make any other sense otherwise. How
I got
did
it,
he
don't
somehow
worry.
Evaluate this building by himself? There's 230 stories. How is he getting through all these different stories?
He's only got one leg.
Okay, but like...
Okay, wait. That brings up a different point for me. There were so many hidden areas inside this building. I would have loved to have seen a movie kind of like Clue. You know, like Clue has the secret passageway that goes from the observatory to the whatever. Yeah, whatever. I don't know all the... I don't remember. It's been years since I played the game or saw the movie. Not really. We saw it last week.
We saw it on 4th of July.
We got the secret passageways, right? And this building seemed to have quite a lot of that going on
completely.
With it. And they just sort of like... The characters use it. They don't talk about it. And they don't like ever make it an element of the plot. I thought that would have been a lot more interesting because then it becomes important that you're in this building of all buildings because... You've got the subterfuge and the sleight of hand, and this doesn't actually lead where you think it does. Instead, they do kind of all of that feeling with a bunch of ridiculous people-sized screens in an 8K theater at the top of the building.
We need to talk about this theater at the top of the building.
Before we jump into that, it's interesting. Because not only are there all those little nooks and crannies and little hidden places, but everybody knows about them. Even his daughter. Like, there's
Correct.
A scene where she's being chased by the bad guys. One of The Rock's kids. I'm not even going to call him Will, just The Rock. One of The Rock's kids. Then she ends up turning around the corner. You don't know where she goes. And suddenly, she's in this area where there's, like, these exhaust vents and these very, like, hot and... crazy pipes that are all over that are steaming, which the building's already on fire. So, number one, this little girl's already walking into a dangerous place by herself.
Yeah.
But then she also knows of like a secret hiding place that she wouldn't have been found had...
Well, she's resourceful.
I love
her. Resourceful.
I mean, they didn't get to see the panda at the zoo, so what are you doing? I'm
very upset. She's had a terrible night.
She really has.
Yeah, no pandas, buildings on fire, getting chased by people with guns, almost getting thrown off a building.
Your mother just fell out of the building in an elevator.
That's true.
Okay, that's another part about this film that before, because I want to get to that little 8K cue ball. But before we get to the 8, there's a scene where The Rock sends his wife and his son down an elevator by themselves. Now, the elevator is electromagnetically propelled.
Controlled, yeah.
So what
it's a maglev elevator.
Essentially. So what he says he's going to do, mind you, they're on the 196th floor. No, the 96th floor.
Yeah, somewhere in the
They're 100s. Above it. The fire they're, started on the 96th floor. They're in the 101 or something like that, where the basically the Pandora theme park
yeah.
is.
So what The Rock decides he's going to do is he is going to cut the only thing that is keeping that elevator locked in place, and he's going to cut it.
The only elevator we've even seen, by the way.
Yeah.
In a 230-story building.
Oh, we've seen one other one.
But it got blown up.
Yeah.
But he's going to let her fall to their death and hope that she remembers to turn on the emergency brake right before they hit the floor.
Okay, but he told her to do that.
Yeah, no, why? Well, she had to remember still, Spencer. Come on.
You had to remember something for 5 seconds, and that's a big deal?
She's going down an elevator shaft that's 100 stories above the ground.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things going through my mind except for pulling the lever like, am I going to die?
No, that should be the only thing on your mind. Pull the lever. That's
or how about this? The woman's eyeballs work. Right?
Yeah.
Like, the point was, hey, guess what? After you get below the fire line, everything should work hunky-dory. And the elevator is made of glass. So you can just, like,
yeah.
see why count extra. And she's counting. And it's like, you passed the fire line 3 seconds ago. Just hit the emergency brake. I don't care where it stops you.
That whole sequence was ridiculous. It was pretty much putting Neve Campbell and their son in a railgun, essentially, because
yeah.
that's all
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
But as we progress to the table topper, if you will, of this thing, the Pearl, yeah. which happens to be this large circular building, spherical building at the very top of it, of the actual structure, is this 8K 360 looking type of building. I don't even know. It looked like, honestly, at first, it looked like it was a Chinese cemetery. That's what I thought it was when they first started showing it. Like, when the things started coming up.
It was a Chinese cemetery at the top of this building.
Yes!
Because they look like gravestones.
They look like gravestones.
When the panels come up. The completely irrelevant panels that don't do anything.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they do the very important, like, you know, misdirect.
Ah, stupid. That's not even. So, this thing has all these panels that come out of the ground. They look like gravestones right away. And then you realize, oh, they're actually 8K screens that are projecting everything that's inside the room, like certain parts of it. So there's cameras all over and there's cameras outside. This was the stupidest idea in the entire world. Number one, because of the fact of the panels, like Spencer said, there's no reason for the panels unless you plan on walking into yourself or find yourself feeling pretty stupid when you realize the person you're talking to is actually
No. That is not going to happen in any form of reality. If you are in a place, like a fun house.
Let me just back away from this mic for a second.
Oh, he's charged up.
If you're in a place with a fun house talking to someone, like, at one point, like, The Rock's talking to someone, and he's like, you think you've been talking to me, but I'm actually behind you. And he's like, oh, you're here. Like, that's not how sound works. Like, fundamentally. Like, I'm not going to look at a monitor, no matter how good it is, and think the sound's coming from it when there are no speakers present anywhere. Like, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous.
Well, and this is supposedly the, quote-unquote, eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah.
Monitors?
Like yeah. this particular space, the Pearl itself, the circular orb on top of the building,
yeah,
is what is claimed to be, like, this is going to be the eighth wonder of the world. Not the whole building, but what happens in the Pearl, because then you can change all these monitors to show a complete 360 view of the entire city of Hong Kong beneath
yeah.
you. So it looks like you're standing on nothing but air. However, number one, there are observation decks in many cities around the world where
mm-hmm.
you can do a version of that.
And not give people vertigo.
Fully immersive experience. And number two, why are the panels there then at all? If the
yeah.
whole space is supposed to make you feel like you're quote-unquote standing in heaven or whatever, which is another thing they kind of say. If the whole space is going to do that, then what are the panels for? They're just there as a plot device, and it's really obnoxious.
Which it turns into a plot device where, remember when I said it has elements of Enter the Dragon? So that entire last few scenes with Bruce Lee and the bad guy with the claws, and they're fighting and they're battling in this room of mirrors, that is exactly what's happening in this film. Nobody knows where the heck each other are, and they're shooting at panels, and apparently the protagonist always knows where the other person is because they're always getting taken out. All the bad people are dying, but none of the good people are. And it's just, it's total ripoff in my mind. I'm like, I just want to see Enter the Dragon now. Like, I don't want to see this movie. I'd rather go see Bruce Lee do this because he did it a lot better because he knew karate.
Okay, can we talk about the tablet now?
Let's talk about the tablet. Spencer.
Tablet.
So apparently there's a tablet that apparently has root access to this entire building's security infrastructure. Oddly enough, it's housed on a small little dinky tablet. And Spencer, why don't you tell us exactly what's wrong with doing something like that?
All right, let's back up to when The Rock first gets this tablet. So like the owner of the building is like, here's a tablet with like administrator access. It's unlocked with facial recognition. And I was like, oh, this is not going to end well in the slightest. Because first off, one, if you're going to have something with administrator access, don't make it something portable. You should not be able to just pick it up and walk away with it because, you know, then anyone who has it has administrator access too. The problem with facial recognition is besides Apple and the iPhone X, all other forms of it are generally terrible, except for Windows Hello. That's also pretty good.
About who, what, where, when, how?
Windows Hello. It's something that Microsoft has, but doesn't really advertise. Every other form of it is pretty poor, and a lot of them can be defeated with photos of you versus the actual you.
Oh, good point.
So, you know, it's generally bad if I can just unlock your phone with a photo of you, and I'm going to put, like, the whole building controls behind that. Yeah, that's not a great idea.
Not to mention the fact that the bad guys in this particular story, which are idiots, they want to steal the tablet to get into the offsite facility to, like, break everything and encrypt it in ways that cannot be decrypted again, but then take the tablet and leave and go somewhere else with the tablet because the tablet can still do everything that you could not do in the facility when all the tablet was doing.
Well,
in the first, like, it was just like, it was very dumb. Like, everything was overcomplicated and didn't make sense.
It was super overcomplicated. I don't know how, like, the general public's gonna deal with some of the topics they were dealing with, because from my perspective, it was nonsense. And so I don't know how people with less understanding of how certain things work just. Is it just like, oh, yeah, computers?
Well, so here's the thing. You're looking at something like a tablet, and it's essentially the key plot piece,
MacGuffin.
The MacGuffin, if you will,
MacGuffin.
That essentially will change the course of the entire film. Whoever holds such device or whoever has the power of such device can change the direction of the outcome of the film. And, like, we've seen things like this in previous films, like with take, for instance, Lord of the Rings is a great example of a good way to use this. With the ring, obviously, the Ring of Power grants the person the ability to, you know, have invisibility, and it's just a Ring of Power and the whole drive to destroy it. So everything kind of focuses around that. But there's usually a cost of such power. There is no cost of having this tablet. There's no purpose to having this tablet. It is completely and utterly pointless. Because essentially all it is just a key for this film. It's nothing more than just, but essentially this key becomes the main saving grace for our, you know, heroes in this film. Because, like Chad so eloquently put, there's no reason for them to still carry it, and yet they're still carrying it.
Right.
So, I
like, why? That's just the primary thing I thought after this movie was why.
Why did any of that happen? Into the bay after, like, I've done all my things. Chuck.
Well, because so literally in the film, the person who encrypts all the stuff that's happening with the building, he makes a very smart choice in my mind. He's like, oh yeah, I've encrypted everything, and the only person who can really unencrypt it and has all that information is me. So, you know, smart of me, blah blah blah, and he gets shot, and I'm like. So you're going to shoot the guy who has the only ability to unencrypt everything.
Do anything, right.
And yet you still keep the one piece of equipment that anybody could access and rectify right. what you did wrong.
Right.
Where's the logic? Like, seriously.
I don't know why she just didn't, like, put her face over, like, the Rock's face for, like, the encryption code if you think that's even safe.
Like, this movie was frustrating.
It was very frustrating.
Like,
again, the primary plan of the bad guys is to set a building on fire in order to steal a USB drive.
Yeah, I also don't fully understand the functionality of this USB drive, because what the owner of the building says, because it's his USB drive, is that if he were to die, the information would somehow get out of that USB drive and be yes. sent to the police. Automagically somehow. I don't understand how this thing is doing that.
Why didn't he start with that threat? Like, why didn't he say, listen, if anything happens to me, I have a pacemaker that once my heart goes out or once I die, the information, it'll send a signal to my computer and it'll essentially send all the information to the police and they'll have everything on you guys. Like, why couldn't that have been, like, I should have written this film. Like, there should have been a smarter way for this whole endeavor. And it just seemed like the villains in this movie were so dumb.
Well, and he's dumb too.
He is.
Because the whole reason you come to learn very late in the game, when it no longer matters in the least, you come to learn what's on this drive. And it's basically every bank account for every bad person who uses money on the black market or to extort people or whatever. He has found a way to track all of it because somebody tried to extort him.
Yeah.
Like, what's the value of sitting on that information?
Yeah, I don't understand that in the slightest.
Because he's like, oh, I'll give it to them and they know it. Then why didn't you do it already? Like,
right?
What are we doing all of this for?
Which essentially makes him an extortionist.
Yeah,
yeah, he's extorting the extortionist.
He's extorting the extortionist. So there's really no...
That's probably why it's in this movie, because that sounds like a cool idea. Oh, he can extort the extortionist. Oh, I should write that down. That's a great idea. That's
yeah.
exactly what happens.
It goes back to your, like, giant piece of paper with parts.
Yeah,
idea,
see?
Eddie.
This movie. So with all that
boy.
Said, obviously this film is meant to have a happy
wait,
ending.
Wait, because I want to talk about the fix. We're talking about that, right?
Oh, go ahead.
Do it.
Okay. The last...
Let me, hold on. I'm pushing my laptop back. I'm leaning back in my chair. Go ahead, Spence.
Okay. So early in the movie, Nev Campbell has a problem with her phone. She's like, fix it. It's like, just turn it off and turn it on.
Which they show as an iPhone. So uniquely enough, the only product that's really shown in that particular building is an iPhone.
It's
I don't know if that means anything.
In the entire movie. So flash forward to the end, Nev Campbell has the tablet.
No. Huh? What does he say to her? What happens when she has an issue with the phone?
Oh yeah, she's like, did you try turning it on and off again?
That's what her husband says to her.
Yeah.
He literally does an IT crowd on his wife.
Oh. And her response is, well, I like it when you do it. So can you just fix it?
Like,
Nev Campbell.
Honestly, if you knew that, just do it yourself.
Like, isn't there
so
supposed to be
lazy.
A Scream movie she's supposed to be in or something? Just go back to...
Anyway, we're at the end of the movie. Nev Campbell has the tablet. She's trying to turn on the fire suppression system. And it's like, fire suppression system failed. Reboot? She's like, you always reboot. And then she just reboots the building.
The whole building.
Like, okay, let's...
The whole building turns itself off and turns itself on again.
I'm like, I want to know what tech information she learned on Party of Five, because apparently she...
whole building.
That's not how any of this works. Like, even if you had put a reboot this building button on a tablet, it would not turn off the lights in a building with a sound effect. The lights would stay on because they don't have a controller anymore. They're just going to sit there until something gives them a command. That's not how this works. Also, even if you reboot your building, whatever, we'll skip past the feasibility of that.
Even if you reboot your building,
there's still There's been a fire in it for the last 3 hours. You think all of that fire suppression system's just been sitting there being like, I hope someone lets me turn off this fire.
Right.
Like, no. Things are falling over and falling apart. There is no way that all of that is going to just work throughout the upper levels of the building. No, it's done.
I agree.
It is 100% done, and everyone is dead again. So he's dying on the operating table. He died in his dreams, and that's the end of this movie.
Listen, Grease.
Also, the authorities never once try to actually put out the fire. They all stand and look at the building as if the building's supposed to do it.
Well, they take a real purge approach to it. Well, it just works.
Yeah. They're just like,
works.
Well, the building's going to fix itself. And then, like, floor by floor by floor by
natural
floor.
Natural selection will take place.
The fire expands and extends. And never once do they think, oh, this gigantic building in the middle of our very heavily populated city could, like, burn down or, like,
or
nothing.
Fall over.
There's never, there's, like, the only helicopter you see is somebody who's basically going to take a picture of The Rock while he's jumping across the crane so everybody downstairs can say, yay, he made it.
Like, nobody.
And then it goes away. Like, it's completely ridiculous.
Like, that pearl at the very top of the building, that could have, nobody, no press, no anybody knew exactly what was in that thing.
Yeah, it was for a big surprise.
And so that could have been, like, nuclear power, or that could have been, like, something like a doomsday weapon. It could be anything that could have caused immense amounts of damage had that have fallen. Mm-hmm. That would have been my number one question.
It could, like, have been the all-seeing eye.
Could have been the all-seeing eye. We're talking about Sauron.
I'm pretty sure no one would have guessed it would have been just a lame 8K theater.
And the thing that they're after is a USB drive.
I could have bought one at Best Buy.
You should have, yeah.
I mean, hey, from a techie standpoint, that was actually a really cool USB drive. Like, I really hope they start selling.
I was like, what is that?
I'm not sure how it plugs into the computer.
It's
but
ridiculously huge. There's no reason for it to be that big unless you have a problem losing things. Which I'm sure he does.
Probably. So, wrapping this up. Yeah, like we said, this film, it does obviously have a happy ending, as do most of these types of B movies, blah, blah, blah. It was really bad. Like, I'm one of the biggest issues I think I have with this film is that I felt like it should have been shorter with everything that was in it. Like,
yeah.
I could have done with a YouTube video of this.
Yeah. utter nonsense.
Any other issues? I'm not going to say, or okay, any other highlights, any other thoughts on the film from you two? Spence?
Something that I did think was actually kind of a cool hidey hole was where he was hiding the USB drive. Like, he had this fake wall looked like it was
a
part
window.
Of the,
it looked like a window to the outside world.
Yeah.
Which, that's what that upper room should have been. Like, that should have been, like, his penthouse. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what that should have been. And,
that was actually a really cool idea. I was like, oh, I wish the movie had more cool ideas than two.
Than The Rock duct taping his body and apparently having the most indestructible
duct taping his body to go across the outside of the building through a spinning wind turbine to cut a wire and then return in time to the secret hiding place of the guy who owns the building and bring him out when the bad guys have already decided to go upstairs with their jumpsuits to flying squirrel off of the building if The Rock doesn't make it in time. It just, none of it made any sense. It was so bad.
That's literally the perfect explanation of that whole part of the third act.
Like,
that
was terrible.
Yeah, no. That is the,
and that's not even counting the part where he shouldn't have defied physics and flown back up to his prosthetic leg.
Oh!
To then climb the rope and get back inside because the duct tape didn't fully work for him.
And talking about disbelief, like I said, that had to be the most durable and most magical prosthetic leg I have ever seen in the history of everything. Because this thing, not only was it super durable and could be used, like, to pretty much climb up buildings, but it also locked into place.
Yeah.
It, like, apparently The Rock had, like, some kind of locking mechanism built into his the nub. And, like, he just, it literally made that sound every time he connected it back up. And it made no sense. Like, there was a point where he was hanging upside down, his prosthetic leg attached to a rope, and his body trying to get to the rope so it didn't fall to his death.
Yeah.
How does that work?
It doesn't.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't. I don't know a whole lot about prosthetics, but I feel like it really does not work that way. Like, we don't put, like, nuts and bolts on people's legs.
Well, there is a sleeve that goes over the nose.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's a way to secure a prosthetic leg, for
oh,
sure.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
But to then, like...
Like, lock and load and...
Yeah,
to hold a 6'5", 340-pound, 320-pound man upside down from a, like, a rope from a curtain in a hotel room...
Whatever material that sleeve is made of, they need to start making girdles. Because those... if that bad boy could stay connected that much, imagine what they could do in that market.
Wow.
That's all I got to say about that. And with that...
Girdles.
Let's go ahead and go around the table and see if this film passes or fails. And how many monocles. And let's go ahead and start with... I'll go ahead and start.
All
let's
right. Do it.
So the film... it fails for me. I did not get the enjoyment that I was hoping out of it. It wasn't even... It was interesting to see, but it was not engaging enough, or it was too contradicting for me to actually enjoy it, so I just couldn't. And I'm going to have to give it 1.5. 1.5, one being for that wall that Spencer was talking about, and half for how cool that USB drive looked. So that's literally the best I can do.
Okay.
What about you, Spence? Does it pass or fail, and how many monocles?
No, I really would have.
No,
it does not pass. It really would have been nicer if the movie was more entertaining. But like, there's just not enough here to justify. Like, this is like a 30-minute episode of a TV show.
Yeah,
is what you can condense this down into. Where, you know, the person's had surgery and they didn't die, but they had a weird dream sequence where everyone they knew was part of the skyscraper nonsense.
Yeah, it is like a fever dream.
Yeah.
It's like, what is this, Dallas? Come on.
Yeah, it's basically Dallas. so I'll give it a 1.
Did it fail for you?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
I said I was meandering through it like this movie
did. He
didn't
even give it pass or fail. He just said no. No.
Yeah, so I'll give it a 1, you know, half a monocle for a cool hiding location.
Uh-huh.
I did like that. And then another half for The Rock because, you know, still entertaining.
All right, Chad, moment of truth. I don't know if you've ever failed a film on the show.
Oh, I have.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have.
Well, then let us know.
I probably did it with Rampage. I don't remember off the top of my head, but probably. A total fail. It absolutely fails for me. I'm giving it 1 monocle, mainly for the fantastical building design.
From an architecture standpoint.
They did not leverage that at all, but they should have. I felt very similarly, actually, about the movie Passengers, where I loved the Avalon. The design of the spaceship itself was so cool and used that kind of spinning helix kind of flow and view and look. And feel, and then this building also has kind of the spinning helix look and the wind turbine that does it and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, when your CGI building is the coolest part of your story, that's a fail. So 1 monocle for the building design. I'm sorry, The Rock, I do like you, but this movie was not a good fit for me.
This seems like the modern day equivalent to Pompeii, because the only highlight to the movie Pompeii, that movie back in like 2015, was the horse.
You meant the actual incident?
No, the movie.
Yeah, I know. You're
the
right.
The only highlight to that entire movie was
the horse.
Was the horse
and its attitude?
Because Kiefer Sutherland and his ridiculous.
Oh, he phoned in hardcore. He phoned that in like nobody's business.
So. Let us know what you think, if you agree with our review, or if you don't agree and you know you have total opposites. If you actually loved this entire film, let us know on our Facebook page at facebook.com/filmlosophers or our Twitter page at twitter.com/philosophy101. Before we go, we want to let you know of a couple upcoming weekend releases. You got Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, The Equalizer 2 starring Denzel, and Unfriended, The Dark Web, or Dark Web, whatever. It's a sequel and it doesn't really... Yeah. But check out these 3 films. They'll probably be playing in your local theaters, so get on it. But that about wraps up another awesome conversation. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are on our Facebook and social, all our social pages, and check out our previous episodes at filmlosophers.com. So, from all of us here at the Filmlosophers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Chad.
I'm Spence.
Class dismissed.